let's begin. Yom Tov is coming up, Shavuos is rapidly approaching, so let's learn some halachos relating to Shavuos. Today I want to learn about lighting candles. Lighting candles on Yom Tov is a very unique mitzvah. I'm not even sure it's in the Gemara. Is it in the Gemara? There's something called lighting candles for Shabbat. We once spent time, and I remember a while ago, probably a couple of years ago, we learned to spend the whole day on this topic. It's a very fascinating topic. Hadlokas neiros. Your wives certainly light candles for Yom Tov. Before Yom Tov begins, you light candles just like you light candles for Shabbos. Now, lighting candles for Shabbos is in the Mishnayos. It's in the Mishnah. The Gemara talks about it. It's a takana chazal made. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayis v'mitzivanu lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. What is the purpose of lighting ner shel Shabbos? Shalom bayis, or even not shalom bayis, ambiance, kavod Shabbos. It creates a different tzura when you light candles in honor of Shabbos. But what about lighting candles for Yom Tov? Why should you light candles for Yom Tov and make a bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayis v'mitzvanu lahadlik ner shel Yom Tov? So the truth is, it's not in the Gemara. It's not in the Mishnah. It's not in the Gemara. It's one of the mysteries in halacha. Remember, we once spent time on this concept. It's a mystery. Why should you light candles? It's not
the same reason you light the Shabbos. You light Yom Tov.
So that's basically the answer. It's the same, right? Basically the same idea, but it's not in the Mishnayos. It's not in the Gemara. It's something which...
Yeah, but Yom Tov is also called Shabbos.
But it's Yom Tov, okay. But that's Drush. The bottom line is, it's not Shabbos. It was instituted primarily for Shabbos, Kodesh, the seventh day of the week. We don't really find this principle of lighting candles on it. Now, there is one other exception to the rule that the Gemara does mention, and that is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you need Ner Shavas. So Yom Kippur, you have to show when Yom Kippur is over that Yom Kippur is also like Shabbos, that you're not allowed to do milocha, you're not allowed to light candles. Therefore, to show that it was Eish, was forbidden the entire Yom Tov, therefore you light a fire before Yom Kippur begins. And on that very fire that you live before Yom Kippur begins, you make Avdallah, you make to show Borei Me'oirei Ho'eish, to show that fire was also throughout the entire Shabbos, and the only reason why, it's a way to show that the fire that we have now was a fire that was lit before Yom Tov began, and that indicates that during the duration of Yom Tov, we were not allowed to light a candle, because Yom Kippur is a day where there's an Isra Malacha, like there's an Isra Malacha on Shabbos. So we have two times we light candles. Erev Shabbos, L'chvoid Shabbos. Erev Yom Kippur, not really so much L'chvoid Yom Kippur. The lighting of candles, Erev Yom Kippur, really is a lighting, it should be a lighting of Ner Shabbos. We really do that. Let's put it aside for now. But that's really the only thing we find in the Gemara. However, it has become the custom. It's a custom which you do make a bracha, or it's a halacha. I don't really know exactly the exact parameters, but we also light candles Erev Yom Tov. And that's a given, no room to budge. We do light candles, but we should at least be aware that the lighting of candles on Yom Tov is not the same thing as the lighting of candles in honor of Shabbos. Lighting of candles on Shabbos is Ikar Hadin. It's in the Gemara, it's in the Mishnayis, Chazal made this takana, Shalom Bayis, Kiddusha Shabbos, Kvoit Shabbos, it creates an ambiance. It's something you do special in the honor of Shabbos, no ands, if, or buts. Yom Tov, it's only by extension. By extension, since we do this on Shabbos, so we also light candles on Yom Tov. It's a chiddush lahalacha, it's not so clear where it comes from, why it should be, and the zehu. Now let's discuss some of the law. What? We do make us, so let's discuss that. We're going to come down in a few more. Let's discuss the basic halachas. Now, here is the issue. There is in halacha, generally, who paskins halacha? Men. One of the rare instances, a lot of these things, you may be familiar with some of these chantas, one of the rare instances where we give credit to a woman for a chiddush lahalacha. And that is the wife of, whose wife was this? The Levush. Was it his wife or was it his daughter? The Levush lived not, I think the Levush was, not Levush, the Drisha. The Drisha, I think, was the Talmud of the, if I'm not mistaken, the Ramah. So that means he lived in the 16th century, and he was married to a very chashuv woman. Let me just find the place. One second. Here it is, okay. Ishtoi the Drisha. The Drisha, he was a student of the Ramah. The Ramah lived, died in what year? 1560 or 1570 something, towards the end of the 16th century. One of the Ramah's prized Talmidim was what we call the Drisha. He wrote a parish on Shulchan Aruch, the Drisha, and he was married to a very brilliant woman. And the Drisha, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, he quotes his wife. Wow. He quotes his wife, and his wife is Mechadish Halacha, women's lib. Okay, talk about feminism, talk about halacha, women's rights. He quotes his wife and he says, my wife says the following chiddush. And you know something? She's right. And therefore, that's the halacha. Whatever she says goes. That's the halacha. What's the halacha of the Drisha? What is the halacha that the wife of the Drisha was mechadesh? That there's a difference in the way you light candles Yom Tif than the way you light them on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, here is the very crux of the matter. When is a woman mekabel Shabbos Kodesh? When? Does she daven Ma'ariv? Not necessarily. So when is she mekabel Shabbos? When she makes the bracha. That's critical. When the woman makes the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam asher kideshanu b'mitzvoseinu v'tzivanu lahalik ner shel Shabbos. Okay? You don't say Shabbos. Shabbos. Because it's Hebrew. And in Hebrew, it's milara. The emphasis on this last syllable. Shabbos is Yiddish. The bracha is not Yiddish. The bracha is Hebrew. Shabbos is like in English. In English you say Sabbath. Correct?
Yeah,
Sabbath. In Yiddish it's Shabbos. Because every word in Yiddish, the accent is on the first syllable.
That's correct.
Hebrew, by default, the accent is on the last syllable. Most of the time. By default. So therefore, how do you say the seventh day in Hebrew? Shabbos. How do you say it in English? Sabbath. How do you say it in Yiddish? Shabbos. The emphasis is on the shin. Because in Yiddish, the emphasis is always on go take out a Yiddish newspaper, and if you'll find an exception, it's not, that's a suffix. If you'll find a situation where you're not putting it on the beginning of the word, it's a prefix. If you find a situation where you're not putting it on the beginning of the word, that's because that's not the actual word, that's a prefix to the word. Right. It's always on the beginning of the root word in Yiddish. That's a rule, and that's why it's Shabbos. So when you say something good Shabbos, you're saying good is Yiddish and Shabbos is Shabbos. You say to someone good with a D, good Shabbos. So you're mixing two languages. You're saying English, good, G-O-O-D, and Shabbos is Yiddish. If you say good Shabbos, that's English and Hebrew. If you say good with a tes, that's Yiddish. That's good Shabbos. That's very, that's Hebrew. Shabbat, so that's Sephardit. Sephardit, there's no such thing as a komatz. Every komat, somehow the bottom part got cut away. So it always turns into a patach. So Shabbat Shalom. That's always going to be the Sephardim, they're mach. We always say Shabbat. They always mach, but they say Milara. So Shabbat Shalom is Sephardit. Havara Sephardit. Okay, that's going to be for you make the bracha. Asher kedishonu b'mitzvoseinu v'tzivanu lahalik ner shel Shabbos. Because when you make the bracha, there is no question. You're saying it in Hebrew. You're not saying it in Yiddish. So therefore, say it right. You say it in Hebrew, and it's a big Shabbos.
Even if you say Shabbos.
Why yoytze? The mila el mila ra is the mila el mila ra is 99% of the time not ma'akev. Where is it ma'akev? Right, the famous Rashi's. Right, the different Rashi's where sometimes it means the present tense, it means the past tense. There are a few instances in Chumash, in Tanakh, where the Mila El and Mila Ra is Ma'akev, but 99% of the time it's not Ma'akev, so it doesn't make a difference. And that's why Unfortunately, many people are not medactic. They're not interested in paying attention to this, and they don't do it right. They don't even want to do it right. I know of a guy who's a real bucky. He's a real expert, and he's a chassidisha. And when he bedafka, he knows all the rules, and he mishugam. He bedafka lanes it the wrong way. Whenever it's supposed to be mila'el, he does a mila'ra. When it's supposed to be mila'ra, he does a mila'el lachas. Why? He doesn't want to be a maskil.
A maskil.
Because the maskilim. Tradition. Because 200 years ago, 100 years ago, they were maskilim, which destroyed Klal Yisrael. So he doesn't want they. What was their expertise? Their expertise was grammar. Tanakh, grammar. So that's why, that in order to distance.
Why should we see that?
Why should we?
Yeah.
Should you're right. You're 100% right. I don't know. I have no understanding of. I don't have no understanding of. No understanding. No understanding of these matters. Let's go further. Now, here's the issue. Rabbi Isa, please. Let's learn something. So, over here, the Drisha's wife was Mechadish, a halacha l'may halacha. And the Drisha paskin like her, and he said she's right. And that's what all women of the world should do. When it comes Shabbos, when you make the Shabbos, make the bracha. When you make the bracha, that's when you go Mechadish Shabbos. On Shabbos, Friday night, once a woman is Mechadish Shabbos, can she do malacha? No, you can't do malacha. So you can't light the candles. Why would you want to make the bracha before you light the candles? We have a general principle. Oyver la'asiyasan. Every single mitzvah, you first make the bracha, and then you do the mitzvah. The bracha must be oyver before la'asiyasan, its performance. So Friday night, when the woman makes the bracha of a halak ner shel Shabbos, she has, in essence, accepted upon herself Shabbos. Now that it's Shabbos, okay, I'm talking Yiddish now. Now that it's Shabbos and she wants to light the candles, for her to light the candles will be Chil Shabbos. It's not technically Chil Shabbos because it's Tosefa Shabbos. You know, she's lighting at a time when it's before sunset, but being that she accepted upon herself Shabbos, she can't light the candles anymore because that would be a Chil Shabbos. So what then do women do? Women, they first light the candles. And then they do not, they also want to fulfill a token fulfillment of Oyver Lasiyasan. So they do the hocus pocus. They go like this, right?
Yeah.
They go, the hocus, what is that all about? Going like this. I'm not the nene. I am not deriving benefit. I've lit the candles, but I'm sheltering myself from its light. I do not want to derive benefit from the light because I first want to make the bracha. So the bracha should be before the mitzvah. They make the bracha and then they let go. And then when they make after they make the bracha, then they can derive benefit from the light. So in essence, the bracha is taking place before the benefit from the mitzvah. And that to some degree is a token fulfillment of oyver la'asiyasa. This is the way a woman must light candles every Friday night, with no exception. A woman lights candles. She first lights, she makes the bracha. She lights the candles. Or in some women, they turn off the electricity, they turn off the lights also, and then they turn the lights on, the electric lights, because that's also a degree of Ner Shabbos. And then they shelter themselves from the Ner Shel Shabbos. They make the bracha and they're finished. The only exception would be, this happens, and this is a topic of discussion, which is a debate. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if there is a clarity in what a person should do. You do whatever you want to do. There are different opinions. If a woman makes a decision that she is not accepting upon herself Shabbos with the bracha, she has to go to the hospital. She has to go visit. She's going to eat by her parent. They're going in a car. She is planning to do melacha after she lights candles. So she does not want the lighting of the candles to constitute an acceptance of Shabbos for herself. So she makes a condition. She states, I'm now lighting the candles, but today is the exception. When I light the candles, I do not want it to be viewed to constitute Kabbalah, an acceptance of Shabbos. So then technically what she should do on this day is she should first make the bracha and then light the candles. Because her bracha in this instance is not Kabbalah's Shabbos. She made it tonight. And then she gains the advantages. The bracha is said in the correct order. It is oyver la'asiyasan. She's making the bracha and then she's doing the mitzvah. Should a woman do that when she lights candles for a night and she goes away and then she goes away? Some say yes, she should, and some say no, she should not differentiate from what she does the entire year in order to avoid confusion. Just do whatever you do the entire year. First light the candles, then make the bracha. And even though you've made it tonight that the making of the bracha will not be Kabbalah Shabbos, it's okay. That's what you do every Shabbos. That's what you should do this Shabbos as well. Now let's come to Yom Tov. Yom Tov, a woman, there's no issue. A woman is allowed to light candles after she makes the bracha. Even though we're assuming as a given that when a woman makes a bracha on the night of Yom Tov, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvos V'tzvonu L'Halik Ner Shel Yom Tov, she is mekabel upon herself the Kiddusha of the festival. Very good. Now she can light candles. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to light a candle. What do you mean, how? So no, let her light the match before she makes the bracha, like Chanukah candles, just like you're holding in your hand the Shamas. When you make the bracha for Chanukah candles, l'halik ner shel Chanukah, what are you doing when you make that bracha? You already have in your hand the candle. So she'll light the candle, light the match, she has in her hand the candle, and she'll now make the bracha, and this will be like a Shamas, this candle. So this candle that she has lit is not the Yom Tov candle. She now makes the bracha, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvos V'tzvonu L'Halik Ner Shel Yom Tov, and now she lights the two candles or whatever she has. Then she can't blow it out. You're not allowed to blow out a candle on Yom Tov. She'll just take that candle, put it in the leichter in another slot or somewhere else that's safe, of course, safety first, and it'll burn out just like the other candles burn out. That candle will not be part of the mitzvah, because that candle is nothing more than the Shamas. Okay, right? That's part of the Shamas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't they use that candle as part of the
lighting? So it depends. Some do, some don't. If that candle, what my understanding is that my perception, I could be I'm wrong, on a regular Friday night, let's assume a newlywed who only has two candles, she uses a regular candle as a shamus. She lights the two candles. She blows it out. Right? There's like a shamus. She lights the two candles. She puts it out.
And then she makes
the bracha. And you're done. Yom Tov, you can't do that. Because Yom Tov, you cannot blow out the shamus. You can light candles on Yom Tov. But you can't blow out candles on Yom Tov. So what then will she do with the shamus? Well, she'll put it into one of the holders. Okay?
My mother always put down the match, the lit match. I remember the first time I saw it, when I was a little kid, she put down a lit match on the tray. She wouldn't, and she said,
she let it go out.
You gotta let it go out, right.
So yeah, that's another option. Another option is, you gotta be very quick. You can buy a long match. Okay, so you buy one of the long matches. Buy a long match called safety match, a long match, and you light the match. You light the match, and then you make the bracha. Okay, you make the bracha. You make the bracha, and then you light the two candles, and you put down the match on the tray and let it go out by itself. Okay, but you can't blow it out. So the point over here is, so the Rishon's wife said this, the way you light candles on Yom Tov should be different than the way you light candles on Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, you have no choice. When you make the bracha, you mekabel Shabbos. You mekabel Shabbos, you can't light candles anymore. So you have no choice but to first light the candles and then make the bracha. But on Yom Tov, you are allowed to light candles on Yom Tov. Therefore, the Rishon's wife said you should first make the bracha, so the bracha is before the doing of the mitzvah, then light the candles, which is permitted on the night of Yom Tov. It's permitted. You're allowed to light candles on the night of Yom Tov. You're allowed to light a candle. Just don't blow out the match, or just don't blow out the candle that you used to light the candles. You should do it in the opposite order. So the Drisha said, she's right. My wife is right. My wife is always right. And he says, in the name of his wife, he wrote this in his parish on Shulchan Aruch, this is what should be done. This is the novel idea of my wife, and this is what should be done. That's how he passed in one of the very rare instances in halacha where a woman was machadesh a halacha, and that halacha that she was machadesh became the norm for many people. Yeah.
How far back does the custom of lighting holiday candles go? Do we know when it originated?
The lighting of candles for Shabbos for sure goes back from the time of the Gemara. It goes back from the Beis HaMikdash. This mantra, Beis HaMikdash HaYekayim, there's no doubt that every person in their home Friday night lit at least one candle, lit candles. The lighting of the Yom Tov candles, I don't know. It appears it went back at least 1,000 years.
Could be back to the same time.
It could be the same time, even though it's not recorded. But it at least goes back 1,000 years.
Well, it could be a soul.
It at least goes back 1,000 years. Shabbos candles. Okay, you think the Mekayim called her a kula before the Torah was given. Okay, fine. Shabbos, yeah,
Mekar.
Shabbos, they
usually
have the
film.
That's sorry, Mendel.
She lit Shabbos candles. So, last Shabbos candles. Yom Tov candles, it's not clear. It really is not clear when it started. It's for sure been around for 1,000 years. From the time of the Rishonim, for sure. Okay, probably from the Goyim also. In the Gemara, it's not mentioned. In the Mishnah, it's not mentioned. So, did we assume they did it? Or do we assume that it became a later custom? It's not clear. It's really not clear. Maybe it is, because maybe there's more things I'm not aware of when I'm reading. But it is definitely a topic of discussion of, it's a different type of mitzvah. The lighting of Yom Tov candles is not like Lael Shabbos, and the Derisha's wife was Mechadesh, then it should be done in a different order. Now, even though this was she was Mechadesh, the Magen Avram disagrees with her. Okay, the Magen Avram, he holds no, he says, there are a lot of issues why a woman should not do this. Number one, it's going to lead to a lot of confusion. Not every person, even though there are many women that are very learned, especially today, women, some of them know a lot more than the men, but in ancient times, not every woman was as learned as the wife of the Jerusha. And when you start confusing them and telling them there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, you know what might very well happen? Next Shabbos, she might do like what she did on Yom Tov. She'll light the candles, she'll first make the bracha, and then she'll light the candles, which is Chil Shabbos. It's not Chil Shabbos Mamish, but it borders on Chil Shabbos. So you're putting yourself in the very... And number two, I told you, everyone here is confused. What do you do with the Shabbos? Right? You're going to light the two candles, and now you have an extra candle in your hand. What do you do with it? I'm going to put it down on the. I'm going to blow it out like you do every week. It's second nature. You light the two candles and then you blow it out. So she's going to forget. So when she blows it out after she lights the candles, when she already said the bracha, that's chil Yom Tov. You're not allowed to blow out a candle on Yom Tov. So if she's not going to pay attention, she's going to first make the bracha, and then light the candles, and then she'll blow it out, and then she'll blow it out. That's a problem.
You know, I don't know why he would be confused. There was a different time where there was no electric. They light every day.
But the order, the Seder Hadvarim.
You could light candles without a bracha.
Yeah, but you light every day without a bracha.
You light it without a bracha. Why make a bracha?
You develop the habit.
Okay, there's also another halacha. You're not allowed to light a match. There's another halacha. Even though you're allowed to light, you're allowed to have fire, but you only we hold you're not allowed to create a new fire. We hold that on Yom Tov you can transfer fire, you can make a fire from a pre-existing fire, but you're not allowed to rub together two stones to make a fire. And for our perspective, in modern times, you can't turn on the range. Even if you have an old-fashioned one, you know, the Pilot. Right? So Pilot is different. That's true. I take it back. Pilot. But even Pilot, I think they'll mock it. I don't know the details. Even Pilot is not so simple. Even the old ovens that did not have electricity, are you allowed? I remember it was Usser. I don't know. I remember that even though you have a pilot light, when you turn on the range.
One of my cousins, when he got smicha from Torah Das, he was one of the questions they asked, and he answered correctly, like what he said, because we had an argument in the sukkah that time, because he took it around that time to Bechina, that the shita was that you couldn't turn.
Why not?
If it had to be a flame, you could make it. You couldn't make it higher, just lower, whatever it is, but you couldn't use
but there's a
the
pilot.
Fire light as a starting
why not? The pilot light, it's already an existing fire.
I'm just
yeah, 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 yeah.
What it was
okay.
That time.
I guess the
that's
perception
the way I
is. Yeah, yeah.
That's the way I was. And then when I got married and moved to Brooklyn, everybody was using the pilot light. My father went berserk.
Brooklyn, we do things differently.
I understand.
I remember as a child.
You got to do it right.
Here, buddy, sorry, buddy, sorry. I remember as a child. That you didn't do it. It was awesome.
I remember, please.
I remember as a child in the olden days we had an oven. There was no electricity. It was a pure pyrolite oven. I just remember is that you were not allowed on Yom Tov to turn on the range for the first time, even though there was a pyrolite. And theoretically, why not? You're not creating a new fire. You're just transferring from the pyrolite to the range. For some reason, it's perceived in halacha as creating a new fire. Certainly, you're not allowed to strike a match on Yom Tov. That's a given. You can't strike a match. Most women, when they light candles, they strike matches. So you're going to tell the woman, first make the bracha, and then light the candles. So, but that means, before you make the bracha, the match should already have been lit, because you're not, or have the, in your hands, a lit Shamus.
And make sure she's not a three-day candle. You know, that the bracha, you know, the kavana, baruch.
Because that's going to take a very long time. It's going to burn out by that time. If that's going to be the problem, what's going to happen? You're going to make the bracha. You're going to make the bracha. And it's very common. They're not going to remember. And they're going to first strike a match. And that's awesome. So there are many issues. So therefore, the Morgan Adam says, you're looking for trouble. You're looking by telling the wife of the Drisha, she's looking for trouble, by telling the Olam, telling the average woman that you should differentiate between Yom Tov and Shabbos. You're gonna. There are a lot of issues. The biggest issue is you may come to do the same thing on Shabbos, and that would be Chilul Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you may come to blow out the match or blow out the candle. That's also Chilul Yom Tov. Or you may light the match after you make the bracha, which would be also chilul Yom Tov. You're looking for trouble. Who needs this? Loi plug. You do one chazal not here to make it difficult for you. There's a mitzvah to light candles, to make a bracha. The simple way when you say the bracha, you makabel the kedusha of the yom, and therefore loi plug. You do it the right. You do it like you do on Shabbos. You light the candles first. You're done, the candles have been lit, and now you shelter yourself from the light, and you don't want to derive benefits, so when you make the bracha, it should be viewed as oiver la'asiyasam, you make the bracha, and then you move away your hands, and you yoytze, that's what you show on Yom Tov as well. Halacha l'maisa, how do we pass it? Do we pass it like the wife of the Drisha, or do we pass it like the Magen Avram? Over here, by Tezner, in the Sefer, he says there's no consensus. There are different minhagim. There are some women that have followed whatever your mother did. Whatever your grandmother did, some have the tradition to follow the wife of the Drisha to differentiate, and some have the custom to follow the Magen Avraham that you do not differentiate. Yeah. That was... What?
Is this a
shidduch
question?
Is this a shidduch question? There's only one question in shidduch. Who's supporting who? Yeah?
You supply to utilize a three-day candle that burns for 3 days. So you can transfer...
Right, correct. The three-day, right. Safety first. Make sure it's safe, right? Absolutely. Now, there's another chiddush of the wife of the Drisha. Another thing. Right, already out of time. We're going to finish up this quickly. There's another chiddush. There's a second innovation that she put forward. And this touches upon many different interesting issues. And that is, when should a woman light Yom Tov candles? So Shabbos, a woman has no choice but to light Shabbos candles. Right, this year it's not gay this year. There are other issues this year, because this year it's Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. So you don't have a first day that is Chol. Normally, if Yom Tov falls out during the week, the first time you light candles, it's the weekday. And you're lighting candles in preparation for Yom Tov. This year you don't have that. Because this year, the first time you're going to light candles, it's going to be Motzei Shabbos. You have to wait until Shabbos is over. And the second night of Yom Tov, that's lighting candles on one day Yom Tov to the next day Yom Tov, which we have to discuss another time. But let's just discuss this issue. Let's discuss it. It brings out, even though it's not we don't have this halacha this year, but it brings out a very important principle. That is, on a regular year when Yom Tov falls out in the middle of the week, when should you light candles? Should you light candles during the weekday, 18 minutes before sunset? Or should you light candles late at night? Should you light candles when already it's fully dark?
When the husband comes home from shul.
When the husband comes home from shul. So the wife of the Drisha says that the common custom that in her time... Okay, Barissa, please. Okay, the common custom was that the women, their custom was to, when Yom Tov falls out during the week later, they would wait for their husbands to come home from shul. And after they come home from shul, they would then light the Yom Tov candles.
Even the first night.
Even the first night.
Right.
Even the first night,
and
they would light. It's already Yom Tov.
So you're saying all the good issues.
You're running into the same problem.
You're running into, it's already Yom Tov, therefore you're not allowed to create a new fire. You got to be very careful, right? You have all these issues. You're not allowed to light a new fire, and you have to be careful not to extinguish the Shamus. Correct, but she is saying that this is what the common woman did in her time. The common woman in her time, Friday night, you have no choice. You can't light the candles after a sunset. Chil Shabbos. But the average woman in her time, with regard to Yom Tov, when it's Friday night, they would wait until their husbands came home, which would be very, very late. Especially the night of Shavuos, because the night of Shavuos in some shuls, and some, not all, it's not an Ikar Hadin, they would wait to daven Ma'ariv until very late. They would not want to say Baruch Hu Tamimais. So Chumra, they would wait and they would want to say daven Ma'ariv after the previous day is completely over. So it should be now the 50th day. And since Sfira is about Sheva Shabbosos Tamimais, you don't want to begin Shavuos even by saying Baruch Hu until you have completed 7 full weeks. So they would daven Ma'ariv very late. They would daven a slow yeshiva shemayrif, and they would come home after davening Ma'ariv. They would have a shmooze. They would fight in shul about something to fight about. And then they would shmooze stam, and they would come home very, very late, because what's the need anyway? You have to stay up the whole night. So you might as well. There's no rush. And then they would come home, and then, oh, you're finally here. And then they would first light candles. Why are they doing that? So the Drisha's wife said, this is a mistake. The reason why they're doing this is because this is what they do on the second night of Yom Tov. And this is what they do like this year when it's Mitzvah Shabbos. Because then you have no choice. Because when it's Mitzvah Shabbos, you can't light until it's Yom Tov, because if you would light early, it would be Chil Shabbos. And even to light from one day Yom Tov to the next day Yom Tov, you're not allowed to prepare from one day to the next day. So that's why in those instances, indeed, it's proper to wait until it's Vaday Laila. But the first night of Yom Tov, there's no reason to wait until it's Vaday Laila. They should light, like Shabbos, 18 minutes before sunset, in order to bring the Kedusha of Yom Tov into the home as early as possible. And furthermore, you're avoiding all of the Shilas. Because if you're going to light when it's still Chol, so then if you blow out the match, or if you blow out the candle, or you light the match, you light the candle, it's no big deal because it's still Chol. You're not really getting into any issues. The issues are much lighter when today is Chol and it's not Yom Tov. This was her second critique, her second criticism of what the average woman does. And the Drisha says, my wife is right again. You see that? Once she's right, she's always right. And this is what he passed in Lahalacha. Now the second issue, the second insight of the wife of the Drisha to a much greater degree was accepted by the vast majority of Klal Yisrael. The first thing is yesh v'yesh. Some follow the Drisha when it comes to the order. Some don't. That we're going to have wrong. But this inyan of lighting Yom Tov candles on the first night of Yom Tov at 18 minutes before Yom Tov was accepted across the board. Now there is an issue though. There is one issue which is a very touchy topic, which the chayra is the reason why that was not the common custom until the wife of the Drisha came along. And that is the issue, does a woman recite a Shehechiyanu when she lights the Yom Tov candles? When a woman lights Yom Tov candles, the custom is she says Shehechiyanu, she makes a bracha b'shem u'malcha Shehechiyanu. Why does she do that? In honor of Yom Tov. Her husband, when he makes Kiddush, will make the Shehechiyanu. So really, it's not her place to chap, to make the Shehechiyanu. You're making the Shehechiyanu in honor of the Yom Tov. The ideal time to make the Shehechiyanu is al kois shel yayin. To make the Shehechiyanu when you're holding in your hand a kois shel brach. That's our custom. That's our custom, is to make the Shehechiyanu when you're holding the kois shel bracha. Which, when is the kois shel bracha? Kiddush. Kiddush. So here is the catch. Me'ikor hadin, a woman, okay? Me'ikor hadin, a woman should not recite a Shehechiyanu when she lights Yom Tov candles. She should not. Because it's better to recite the Shehechiyanu when you're holding in your hand a kois shel bracha. When she's holding in her hand the fire, lighting the halakas neiros, that's not a, it's a very nice thing. She's doing a mitzvah, but that's not a kais shel bracha. That's not kiddush. So therefore, may ikar hadin, a woman should not recite the Shehechiyanu when she lights candles. She should wait, fulfill her obligation to make a Shehechiyanu when her husband comes home. And when her husband makes kiddush al kais shel bracha, she will answer amen to his bracha, and that's going to be the fulfillment of Shehechiyanu. However, we do paskin like that way.
However, we do,
but that's not the minhag. That's not the common minhag. It's a custom which is minhag oiker halacha. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is a woman should not recite a Shehechiyanu when she lights candles. But the women never heard of this halacha. By them, there is a custom that when they're doing the mitzvah of, I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm not just saying a Shehechiyanu out of nowhere. You can say a Shehechiyanu out of nowhere also. The person, when he makes Kiddush, forgets, it's not very common. You make Kiddush and you forgot to say a Shehechiyanu. Big deal. So sometime during the day, whenever you want, sometime during the first day of Yom Tov, don't forget, just say a Shehechiyanu out of the blue. You make a Shehechiyanu in honor of Yom Tov. We lechatchila, we put that Shehechiyanu when you light, when you make Kiddush. A woman, they say, listen, we're doing a mitzvah. Our mitzvah, we're lighting a candles for Shehechiyanu. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah for lahalik ner shel Yom Tov. So when we do the mitzvah, we're going to recite the Shehechiyanu. The husband say, but you should say it when you make the kodesh shel bracha on Kiddush. So my husband, he'll make it then. But I don't have to listen to him. I'm going to make the bracha when I do my mitzvah. Lemai nafkamina. When the husband makes kiddush and the husband says Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam Baruch Priya Gofen, and then Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Amim, and then he goes through the ganze kiddush and then he says Shehechiyanu, and then he drinks. So if she were to answer Amen, Amen to the husband Shehechiyanu, that might be a hefsek between the borei priya gofen and the kiddush. And if she drinks from the ayin, if the husband gives her to drink from the ayin, which is ideal, that should be done lechatchila, she doesn't have to, but if she were to drink from the ayin, even if she's not drinking, the husband has to drink, so she has to wait for the husband to drink. If she now says amen, maybe that's a hefsek between the bracha, and the drink of the ayin, because she doesn't need the shech. She already said the Shehechiyanu. So in Achnami, some say that it is a hefsek, and she should not answer amen. The vast majority of the poskim say there's no such thing as not answering amen to a bracha, even though you already were yotzei. It's not a hefsek. It's fine. Don't ever tell a person not to say amen. You'll get them all confused. This, that, many reasons, as you can imagine. She can say amen. It's not a hefsek. Okay, so therefore, that's the bottom line. The bottom line is the halacha is she should not. But does she? Yes. Because that is the minhag. Same the minhag, the second night you make a Shehechiyanu, the second night you make a Shehechiyanu as well. I want to suggest that the reason why the Drisha, the time of the Drisha, the women would wait until the husband came home to make his rosh. Let me just point out, there's another interesting thing. She says over here, the Drisha's wife, this is another topic of discussion at the time, the Drisha's wife says here is that the women would wait until their husbands came home from shul to light candles. Why would they wait until their husband came home from shul? They shall already light the candles when it's Tseis HaKoychavim. So Tseis HaKoychavim, from the time that it's Tseis HaKoychavim until they come home, can be an hour. So if they're not going to light Erev Yom Tov. For some strange reason, there was this idea, they're not going to light Erev Yom Tov 18 minutes before sunset. They want to wait until it's Vada Yom Tov to light the candles. Something they can't do on Shabbos. Okay, so wait until it's Tseis HaKoychavim, there are three medium stars, and then you can light. No, they didn't do that. They waited until their husbands came home. What? If you're not going to light Erev Yom Tov, why are you waiting until your husband comes home? Light the candles when it's Vaday Laila. That's an idea. You want to say because the candles were not lit so long? Okay, that's a nice answer. So this is something which is a very curious piece of information. And the Mefarshim, they struggle. Well, what exactly does she mean by that? That they waited until the husband came home. Light when it's safe. You're not going to light Erev Yom Tov. We understand. We can understand that. You want to light when it's Yom Tov. You don't want to light Erev. You want to light when the sanctity already is here. Okay, there's a logic behind that. So the Jewish wife said it's wrong. It's nonsense. It's ridiculous. Shabbos is like before, so you should lie before as well. But we can understand why they would wait until it's Vaday Tzitz. But why would they wait until their husband comes home? So I don't know the answer. And then but I want to suggest one answers the other. And that is because of the issue with the Shechianu. Perhaps there is this struggle of saying Shechianu. The women feel guilty. You'd say it many, many different ways. Maybe the one who made the Shechianu, maybe the only one who made the Shechianu, this is a real extreme thing to say, was the wife. The wife, she made the Shechianu, and therefore if the husband came home and observed his wife make a Shechianu on the candles, so he no longer made a Shechianu at Kiddush. She was Maitzi him. I'm lighting candles. I'm anyway going to make a Shechianu. I don't care what it says in Yom Shulchan Aruch. What? But a woman is anyway lighting candles. Anyway to make a Shechianu. I don't care what it says in Yom Shulchan Aruch. Or maybe, very good. Or maybe she felt guilty. Maybe she always feels guilty making the Shechianu. So when the first night of Yom Tov, you know what? I'm going to light candles. Immediately after I light the candles, he says, Bor priyagofen, asher bochar banu, and then he makes the Shechianu. Maybe, and Echanami, she had respect for him when it was late in the way of night. Or maybe you can say, what's there's a very powerful, if she would light candles Erev Yom Tov, that means she's making the Shechianu on a regular Friday night when you light candles, you're not making a Shechianu. You're not making a Shechianu. But Yom Tov, you're making a Shechianu. I don't want to make a Shechianu Erev Yom Tov.
Right.
The Shechianu has to be made on Yom Tov, not Erev Yom Tov. So today, women, they follow what the wife of the reader, they white kills Erev Yom Tov, Mamish Erev Yom Tov, and they also make a Shechianu Erev Yom Tov. That's not so ideal. Right. It's okay. You can do it because it's an honor of Yom Tov. You're lighting the candles already. You makabel the Yom Tov. But would it not be better to recite the Shechianu when it's Vaday Laila? So this second chiddush of the wife of the Drisha is a big chiddush because of the Shechianu. If it would taka be lechalocha that the women followed what it said in the Shulchan Aruch, that they don't say Shechianu, then the Drisha's wife is on the mark. Then, just like Shabbos, you like candles before, so you like candles before. But since Bizman has said the women do not follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and they make their own Shechianu, and maybe Taka, we don't know what they did then. I don't know what they did on time of the Drisha 400 years ago, what happened over then. But if you tackle the women are making the Shechianu, ooh, you're making a Shechianu. You know, it's not so simple you should make the Shechianu Erev Yom Tov. Candles you can light Erev Yom, because that we have a prayer. It's no better than Shabbos. Shabbos you can light Erev Shabbos, but to make the Shachianu, oh, once you're going to wait until it's Vada Yom Tif, so then your husband is going to be home. He's going to see what you're doing. And then you're going to get into a fight. Who makes the Shechianu? You don't make the Shechianu. I'm going to make the Shechianu when we say Kiddush. Maybe he'll defer to her. I'll be yoitz with your Shechianu. You get into a lot of different issues. But you get into these issues only if the meaning of an Isha is to make her own Shechianu. So the Derech's wife is saying it's a mistake. They should light the candles very early before Yom Tov begins. But if you light the candles before Yom Tov begins, with today's custom where the woman does make her own Shechianu, wait a minute, you have to stand back. That's not so simple to make a Shechianu when it's Chol. So it gets you thinking, who's making the Shechianu? What exactly was the exact, these are the issues. Halacha l'maisa, the common minhag is among women is with regard to making the Shechianu, she does make the Shechianu, and she makes it Erev Yom Tov 18 minutes before candle lighting. That's what we do, more or less. I don't know. All the kids. They all make their own Shechianu. They all make their own Shechianu. Lubavitch, then Babish, then a beautiful minhag. Every girl, every girl over Bas Mitzvah lights Shabbos and Yom Tov candles. They make a bracha and they make Shechianu. That is the innovation of the Rebbe. That is his chiddush, a very big chiddush la halacha. A lot of gedolei Yisrael were misnagged to this chiddush, but this was his innovation. He felt it's necessary. It's a beautiful chiddush. It made a lot of free people. This halacha, this chiddush created a lot of Jews. A lot of Jews have become a lot of families. There's a lot of yadus in Klal Yisrael because of what the Rebbe did. It's an amazing thing. And he took a lot of flack for it. He took a lot of criticism for this chiddush l'halacha. But he did not stand down. And the proof is, I mean, it's a fact. Go hundreds of thousands of stories of how many people were introduced to yadus through lighting candles. Women, girls, single girls, young girls lighting candles Friday night. Okay, we're out of time. Take a very short break. I will discuss for 10 minutes. Heter Iska.
What about the woman saying Amen when her husband?
The minig is to say Amen. That's the common minig. She does answer Amen. Yes, yes. So the man, if man benches licht, he should not say Shechianu. Should not say. He should wait until Kiddush to say the Shechianu.
My thought process, well, I mean, this is just for me, that the women started saying Shechianu because there were so many almanas and they didn't have Kiddush and they started saying it when they bench left.
Could be.
I don't know. But that was...
Minag oikir halacha. It's a very good...